Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us and making his ninth appearance on Thursday Night Tailgate is our good friend Randy McMichael. Let me remind you about Randy's background. He's from Griffin, Georgia, which is about 45 miles south of me here in Atlanta. Not only was Randy one of the top 50 football players in the state of Georgia when he was in high school, he also lettered in basketball and track. He attended the University of Georgia, where he was a three-year letterman. In 1999, he was named first-team freshman All-American. 2001, he was named first-team All-SEC. When he finished his college career, he ranked ninth on Georgia's all-time receiving list. He was drafted in the fourth round in 2002 by the Miami Dolphins, and he played tight end in the league from 2002 to 2012 with the Dolphins, Rams, and Chargers. He became the Dolphins' first rookie tight end to start all 16 games. Over the course of his career, he had 426 receptions for a little over 4,500 yards, and he scored 24 touchdowns. You can now hear him on WZGC-FM 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta, middays on the Andy and Randy Show. We're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Randy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, man. My God, number nine? That is unbelievable, man. But it's always a great pleasure to be with you guys. How are y'all doing?
We're fantastic. Thank you, Randy. So, Randy, got to get your thoughts on your boys now. University of Georgia, nice win on Saturday over Vandy. You've got Murray State and Arkansas State over the next couple of weeks. Shouldn't be much of a problem, but Notre Dame looming out there on the 21st. What are your thoughts? Is this the year that they get over the Alabama hump and maybe challenge Clemson for a national championship?
Oh, well, I think this is the best team that Kirby has had, and I even include that Rose Bowl team that got to the national championship game. They have sprinted everywhere. They finally got a consistent pass rush. And I think this team is going to be special this year, being up there around practice and being around the guys sometimes. I just think these guys are ready to roll. And I think Kirby has all the ingredients as a coach to learn from his mistakes that he's made in certain game situations. And then you got an upperclassman quarterback who doesn't crack under pressure, who's played in these pressure-packed games for his first 2 years in the season. So I'm so excited about this year. Last year, it was what it was. Last week, it was what it was. You go up there, you play Vanderbilt, you go beat their head in, and then you move on to the next game.
And speaking of the upperclassman quarterback, Jake Fromm, he's a junior. You think Fromm comes back for his senior year, or is this the last one at Georgia?
I've always thought that Jake Fromm was going to be a four-year quarterback there at Georgia, just like Aaron Murray. But, there are reports out there. You watch the mock drafts, you hear certain people thinking he's a first-round draft pick. I don't know, but I know this. If Jake Fromm leaves early and is a first-round draft pick, that lets me know that we have won the national championship or damn near got close to it, because Jake, I still get baffled because he threw 30 touchdowns last year. I was like, really? I didn't realize he threw 30 damn touchdowns. I mean, that's how I am with that. But, I mean, Jake Fromm has all the tools. It's just all about Kirby Smart and his system and what he wants to do. Kirby wants to run the football. I know we got my man James Coley. He's a new offensive coordinator. And everybody thinks, oh, yeah, we're going to just throw it all over the yard. No, it's about the man in the visor and what he wants to do. He wants to be a ground and pound behind the best offensive line in college football.
So, Randy, on a slightly different note, you know, here in town in Atlanta, for the local boys there at Georgia State, huge win over Tennessee last Saturday. I want to get your perspective. Does that game say more about how good Georgia State is and becoming an up-and-coming program, or just how far Tennessee has fallen?
Well, the thing about it is, I don't want to use that comment take away from Georgia State, because that's such a big win for Coach Elliott and his program, and I'm so excited for them. And hopefully that this Saturday, when they play against Furman, it will be sold out after that big win. I know they're giving away free tickets to people that were affected by the hurricane, but that was such a big win for Coach Ellington's program. But, damn, Tennessee, I mean, they have fallen off. And it's to a point where you're losing to Georgia State at home. They got BYU this weekend, and they still might lose that game. And, I mean, you looked at the stadium. That's not the Rocky Top that I grew up in and knew it's going to be full. They're going to play that damn raggedy song the whole time. It gets on your nerves and all that. And it's not the same, man. And they are just a void of talent right now. I mean, you got two freshmen starting at the right and left tackle. Trey Smith, who is their best player, he's coming back from an illness. You don't know what's going to be his status, Guantanamo or whatever the hell the quarterback name is. He's not getting it done. I mean, Jennings is their best player right now, the wide receiver, but they got so many issues up there, Rocky Top. I thought Coach Pruitt would have found a way to get it fixed. I know it's early. He brought in Chaney and guys like that, T. Martin, Chris Winkie. But right now, I mean, it is an issue up there right now, and it's going to be some hot seats if they lose to BYU, because when you have a player-only meeting the first week, it's some problems.
Bob, questions for Randy?
It's always great to have you back, Randy. Hope you've been well.
Always,
Bob. We were talking at the beginning of the show, Randy, how you were a lunch pail kind of guy, but you also caught over 400 passes, and I've always said, you know, a guy like yourself could have caught many more. And did you ever get to the point, Randy, and it's not being selfish, but knowing that, you know, guys like yourself that can catch the ball, they want the ball. And you, I know you did what you did to have to do to win, but, I mean, there's probably, you could have probably been over six, closer to 700 receptions in your career, and then they'd be talking Hall of Fame. Was that anything you ever wrestled with, the fact that you could have caught a lot more passes? Or was it about each game just going into it, trying to win and being the best team that you could be?
Hey, Bob, it was all about football, man. And I tell people this all the time, man. I just love everything, every aspect of playing football. I love the blocking. I love the tackling. I love the catching the ball. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't wish that I played with better quarterback play when I was in the prime of my career and better teams. Yeah, I do. But the thing about it is that I always went out there just to play football. It was a dream to be in the NFL for me. And I never really worried about stats. I didn't play football to be a Hall of Famer and all that. I played football because I love the game and to take care of my family, which I've been able to do that right now. And I think that was my biggest thing. And I remember when I got to San Diego and played with the best quarterback I ever played with was Phillip Rivers, but Gates was there, and I knew I was not going to get an opportunity. And Gates got hurt my first year, and I got a chance to show that I could still play ball and receive and have receiving skills, but that wasn't the most important thing. And I remember one of my favorite teammates was Steven Cooper, the middle linebacker. And he said to me, you know, Randy, you're just a football player, because that's what I did. And he's like, Randy, you know, you got to play special teams. Okay. I don't want to play football. I love Sunday putting on that helmet and being able to play football. And once I've got to that point, because I think that was embedded in me from when I was in high school, I just want to play football. I didn't really care about stats and everything.
And Randy, of course, the big talk up here in New England is about the retirement, at least right now, of Gronkowski. You're talking about possible Hall of Famer and everything. Still a relatively young guy. Now, you played till you're 33 years old. And you played in every game your last year. Did you go out on your own terms, Randy, or did you think you had a little more left in the tank? What was your mentality when you left?
Well, I wanted to play 10 years, and once I did my 10th year in San Diego, I was like, you know what, I'm tired. I don't want to play. I want to be back to my family. And, you know, and I was done. And I talked to Norv, and, you know, they drafted Ladarius Green, a young tight end who wasn't ready. He's like, can you give me one more year? And I kept saying to Norv, I said, only way I come back, we got to have some stipulations on training camp, practice during the week. I mean, I got the days off and everything. But I was, like, mentally checked out. And because my body, it just, you know, it got me. And that's the one thing about it is sometimes the love and the pain of trying to get ready for this game, because a lot of people, they just see all of the great things, the Sunday thing, but you don't understand what it's like to go through it to get ready for a season. And I was like, I can't sit through these games. If I could just play Sunday, oh, yeah, I'd do that. But just that grind of just getting ready for every Sunday, it just took its toll on me. And, you know, once I talked to my wife and we talked about it, and then teams started calling. She's like, well, baby, just go. Why don't you just go take the visit? And I took visits like 14, and it just wasn't there, that love and that willing to train for. Because I said to myself, once I don't want to wake up in the morning in February to start training for football, it's time for me to go. And I didn't. It was oh, God, I got to go work out because I don't play football. And luckily for us, you know, God blessed us enough that we have the monetary needs to be able to just need to sit back and just chill. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. But the thing with Gronk is, man, Gronk's been broken up since he got to the league, man. I mean, he comes in with the back surgery and arm, and he gets arm in the league and the ACL, because I can see how that can take this toll on such a great player. And no, he is a Hall of Famer, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I mean, I respected his decision because I felt where he was coming from. And you know, when you, as a fan, people don't understand that grind, like I say, that pain that you got to put yourself through to get ready for Sunday.
Randy, I want to switch gears a little bit and get your thoughts on the Dolphins. It feels a little bit like, to me at least, that they've sort of thrown in the towel already. They traded Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, you know, Kiko Alonso over to the Saints now. They got first round picks, you know, in 21, and a first and a second in 21, a fourth in 20. But it seems like they sort of are now kind of looking ahead to the 2021, maybe even 2022 season as going to be the year when they're hoping to build and be ready to challenge the Patriots. Are you concerned about what you're seeing down in Miami?
Man, these damn Dolphins, man. That's all I can say, man. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these damn Dolphins. That's my squad, and I love them. You know, they gave me an opportunity to be a professional football player. And I'm so happy for Chris Greer. That's my man. I've been on Chris. Chris was like a low-level scout when I was in Miami, and I'm happy that he's a GM. I think Coach Flo, I hope he has the right vision, but I don't know what the hell they're doing out there, man. I mean, of course, you can see that they're trying to rebuild and get rid of all the good players and all that. But I just don't understand it, man. And I love me some Fitzy, former teammate. We were locker mates and everything. I mean, they're going to have running for his life. They don't got nobody to protect him. And you trade for Josh Rosen. And what it shows to me is that they figured out that Josh Rosen is not that dude, because he can't beat out Fitzy. But why trade for him? So to me, it looks like, because, you know, every organization starts with the quarterback position. They don't have that. They haven't had it since Dan Marino. And they're searching. And you got Tua and Herbert, the kid out of Oregon, coming out next year. Maybe Jake Fromm, maybe Jacob Eason. But then the prize, you know, the generational player comes out the year after that, and that's Trevor Lawrence. And do they wait for that? I mean, they already don't sell any tickets to go see the Dolphins play. So now you're at a point where, do you want to wait 2 years and do that to your fans? I think the fans would love that if they were able to get Trevor Lawrence. But I mean, I honestly don't know what's going on down in Miami. You know, I'm finally going to go back for the first year, being my wife. And our son, we're going to go down for alumni weekend. I get to wear my pretty, whatever aqua that is, jacket and go wave and coin toss and all that. But, I mean, I'm at a loss of words of what's going on with the Dolphins.
How about here locally with the Falcons? A little bit of a down season last year, 7-9. But this team looks like something that could turn around pretty quickly. I like what I've seen so far. What's your impression of what are you seeing from the Falcons?
Well, the thing with the Falcons is, last year, I mean, it's all about keeping your key players healthy, man. I mean, you got to keep Deion Jones and those guys healthy. And, I mean, I think that they have a Super Bowl-type roster. The one thing is when the depth chart came out this year, well, two of the five offensive linemen had OR. And you don't want to – I mean, anytime you have OR and rotations on the offensive line, you got a problem, because that's the most cohesive unit on a football team are those guys. They do everything. They work out together. They eat together. They do everything together. And right now it looks like Caleb McGarry, the rookie out of Washington, had the heart condition. It looks like he's going to be start right tackle, which I agree with, because he's the best one up there. But the thing with the Falcons is number 24, Devontae Freeman, is going to be the key for them to be able to stay balanced on offense. And be able to, you know, because Matt Ryan played well last year, but getting hit and not being able to run the football. Defensively, Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley have got to get, and I said this, they got to get 20 combined sacks. They do. And Dan Quinn bet on them. That's why they didn't go out and get anybody. They went and got Adrian Claiborne. If Adrian Claiborne leads your team in sacks, you're not having a good year. They have got to find a way to get pass rush. And Isaiah Oliver moving up to the second corner right now across from Marcus Trufant is also big. But I think the Falcons are going to be good. I love the dirt cutter, bringing him back with Mike Malarkey as a tight end coach. I love that Dan is going to call his defense, because nobody knows it better than him and nobody knows his players better than him. And after the day, they better find a way to get Julio Jones signed, because to me, it seems like Julio is a little upset that his contract's not done yet.
Randy, one more before we let you go, and kind of going back to your career, I want to get your perspective. Is there a game that you look back on that you really love thinking about, like, you know, boy, it brings a smile to my face every time I think about that game. And is there one that still bothers you to this day?
Well, I go to college. Of course, the one that did the hobnail boot up in Rocky Top, one of Larry Munch's greatest calls, one of my favorite college games ever. It was just, you know, it was just a magical day. It was Coach Rick's first win, and it was, you know, we went in there, 100,000 people. They scored a touchdown with less than a minute left. I've never heard a stadium that loud where the Gatorade cups were falling off of the stand. I mean, that's how the ground was shaking. And also my worst one is college, and my, and you know, me being a radio host here in Atlanta on 92.9 The Game, the midday shows with, Andy and Randy. And my, you know, Georgia Tech, they always tease me. It was a game of the, at Tech my freshman year, and Jasper Sanks is down, and for them to take the ball away, and we lost that game. That hurt so bad. In the NFL, you know, I didn't have the biggest game ever, but it was a great game. And that night we wore the orange jerseys for the first time in Miami. And we were able to come back and beat the New England Patriots at the buzzer. That was a great game. The worst one was against damn New England again. And I had my, one of my best games as a pro, and Tom damn Brady in overtime throws like an 80-yard touchdown at Troy Brown, broke my heart, broke our heart. But I mean, it's just so many to call from, because I mean, I had so many great memories of playing this game. And, you know, and I think that's the one thing I miss about it is those type of games, the aftermath of being in the locker room from a great win, or the loss, the heartbreaking loss, and you know, getting the comfort from your teammates.
Randy, you mentioned the radio show a moment ago, but let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing, listen to you on your show, and also follow you on social media.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. You know, it's the new midday shows with Andy and Randy, me and Andy Bunker. We're on from 10 to 2 every single day. Make sure you listen to my college football show, College Football Game Time, every Saturday from 9 to 12. Me, John Chuckery, and Chris Goforth. You can always follow me on my social media at RandyMack81.
Randy, you're the best, my friend. We can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We always have so much fun when you're a part of it, so we thank you very much for being here tonight.
All good, fellas. I can't wait for number 10.
Ah, same here. Take care, Randy. All the best to you and your family, my friend.
All right, take care.
See ya. That is Randy McMichael. And Bob, you know, love his enthusiasm, love the way he throws it right out on the line. Those damn Dolphins. Couldn't agree more, boy, when you look at what they're doing. And he's exactly right. I think that franchise has suffered every day since Dan Marino retired. They have, I don't know how many quarterbacks they've gone through. It's probably not quite as many as the Cleveland Browns, but I bet it's close. And until they figure that piece out, it's just going to continue to be a long season after another long season in Miami.
Yeah, he's got a good take on Minnesota, but great to talk to him, Chris. I mean, he's doing exactly what he should be doing. He's a very eloquent guy, and a guy that played so many years in the league at such a position. He's got an incredible spin on the game in general. So I'm glad he's in that business, and he's doing well.